Hello and welcome to another jam-packed episode of My Favorite Conservative. I am Edward.
And I am Andrea, but I am not conservative.
Oh, come on. You're going to keep the charade up.
Yes, I am. It's not a charade.
Okay.
All right. But you are my favorite conservative.
Thank you very much.
You are, yes. And to all of our listeners and viewers who are watching live, so I still have a sinus infection. So when I cough, I will try to do it off camera and away from the mic. And I have a cough drop on my mouth right now. So bear with me if I sound like I have a weird lisp or something. Anyway, not that there's anything wrong with that. But this is our last live show of 2024. And since nothing ever happens between Christmas and New Year's Day, our first live show of 2025 will be January 5th.
All right.
I was pushing for the 12th. No, I'm just saying I was pushing for the 12th, but that will also be the debut of season 4.
It will.
And we're still trying to think about the theme. Is it reuniting America? Is it bringing people together? I don't know. We're figuring it out.
We'll come up with it.
We're open to suggestions too.
We are.
Yeah. Bring it. Okay. Go ahead.
I'm going to start the show a little differently than what you were expecting.
Oh.
I've got two numbers jumping out at me here.
Is this because you watched Maria this morning?
No.
Oh, okay.
38 and 29.
Okay.
All right. 38. Who was our 38th president of the United States?
Oh, God.
Ding, 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 ding.
I don't know. I don't remember.
Okay. That would be Gerald R. Ford.
Oh, damn. I was going to guess Nixon.
The great orator Gerald Ford.
Okay.
He actually uttered some words that just resonated to me. And so he's the 38th president, and he said, "Our long national nightmare is over," when he was talking about Watergate. Hmm. The 29 is 29 days until Donald Trump takes office at noon on January 20th.
Yep.
And our long national nightmare will be over, that was known as the Biden administration. Just a complete and utter failure.
Okay.
So I cannot wait for that day. But
I'm impressed. That was not in the script.
I'm on it. I thought we'd even have more fun than usual today and kind of do a look back at 2024 and how we got here, what in the world happened, because it was a very eventful year.
What would be the most fun for me is getting rid of this sinus infection that I've had off and on since July. I'm just saying, but I'm all for let's get out 2024.
See if Trump can help, maybe.
Yes, I know. All right.
Elon Musk.
You know, what sticks out to me is that it felt like the longest election season in history. Like, it was just never going to end. When I think about how many times we've talked about the polls, it just went on and on and on.
Yeah, I'm hoping these next 4 years we get some sort of change that's no longer election season, and we whittle it down to maybe a week or something.
That'd be great. You know, I'm all for it.
That would be great.
All right. So let's get started. What are we talking about?
We're going to look back at 2024.
Oh, that's right. Sorry. I got distracted.
That's okay.
All right. Again, I'm just like, not all here. All right. So we're going to look back in 2024, and we are going to not do it the way they do shows these days, which is out of order, and you can't figure out which time you're in.
Oh,
we're going to do things chronologically, because let's be honest, that makes the most freaking sense. All right, so let's start with January/February.
Let's start. How this great year started out, especially for the Biden administration. This was January 28th. We had the Chinese spy balloons spotted over Montana, I believe, at the time.
Right. Through February. Right.
Through February. Yes. It went for like over a week of traversing our country. First, you know, remember the denial.
Right.
You know, no such thing. And then actual citizens were taking pictures of it.
Yes.
Then they wanted them to shoot it down because it's a Chinese spy balloon.
Right.
But we couldn't do that because, God forbid, it could land like in Montana or South Dakota, where nobody lives.
Well, I know someone who lives in Montana.
Not a lot of people live there, shall we say. And they finally shot it down over the ocean, right? You know, so.
Okay.
Great job, Joe.
Yes.
Great job.
And what was interesting, if you remember, and by the way, guys, we just have sort of bullet points today, and then we're spitballing. So we don't know what the other person's going to say. Should be fun. What's interesting is I remember when that came out, the former Trump administration had said that they had shot down several of these spy balloons. So this was not a new thing. It's just that we didn't hear about it before because it was taken care of quickly.
Well, and it was also Biden pretended it wasn't happening and then and then wouldn't shoot it down.
Right.
You know, that's what really got to me.
But all right. Let's take us into March.
Into March, late March, actually, March 26th. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, in the Baltimore Bay, the harbor, the Francis Scott Key Bridge collapsed after being rammed by some sort of foreign barge at the time, tanker, and collapsed, which caused incredible shortages. And, you know, I think what jumps out at me here is just in this last funding bill that they just passed, before they whittled it down, there was like a few billion dollars to repair the bridge. Now, the company that hit the bridge has like $2 billion of insurance.
Okay.
Isn't there a reason that you have insurance in case, I don't know, your tanker hits a bridge?
Yeah.
Right. But yet we are supposed to pay for it as the citizens.
Okay. Well, what jumps out at me is there was some loss of life.
Yeah. I think six workers were actually on the bridge at the time working. Yeah.
Yeah. So
very sad.
But I'll be honest, until you brought it up for today's show, I had forgotten about it, which I feel
so bad. Well, there's still, you know, if you're trying to get around Baltimore, it's sure a real pain.
If you're from Baltimore, let us know what's going on. Yeah. So I've only been there once. All right, let's go into April.
April, yes. This April 17th is when the students protests on all, especially Northeastern campuses, supporting Hamas started.
Also at UCLA.
It's
West Coast too, for sure. Yeah.
Wow.
And they were blocking, you know, Jewish students from getting to their classes. Mm-hmm. It got so out of hand.
And it's going to start up again as soon as Trump takes over.
Probably.
I guarantee it'll be front page news again. I don't understand why they think Hamas is this. What's the word I'm looking for?
I don't know.
Yes, you do. You're supposed to be able to read my mind. how they're the victims in all of this when they launched the terrorist attack against Israel on October 9th.
You know what kind of reminds me of? You know, it's when you were kids, you know, and you tattle on your friends or your siblings. It's like, he started it. No, she started it. It's like, no, Hamas started it, guys.
Yes.
They started it, and Israel was defending itself.
And famous last words from Benjamin Netanyahu, the Israeli prime minister, they started it, we will finish it.
Yes.
And he continues to persecute that war. So amen to you.
And if you're watching live, we really appreciate it. And yes, I'm having trouble with my ear thingies. I have small ears, inside. It's weird. Anyway,
that's
okay.
That's one of the things that attracted me. It's just small ears.
Would think we've been drinking. We have not. I have tea. That's all I have. Okay. So let's go into May, and you will notice as we go along in the timeline, more shit starts to happen, like per month, it's crazy. But let's go into May.
Into May, late May, May 30th, Donald Trump, the former president at the time, is now the first president convicted of a felony in New York.
Okay.
34 felony convictions for an absolute made-up, what should be a misdemeanor charge that had been past the statute of limitations. And to this day, the left is still hanging their hopes that this is something that's going to sink Donald Trump. I think you better get over it, because that's going to get overturned in a heartbeat at the next level of court. So,
well, they were trying to use the rule of law to absolutely crush his campaign. And bankrupt
him. Oh, of course.
Yeah.
I mean, this was one of four trials going on at the time.
So many.
Yes. And we have heard, especially all the way through the summer, all the way up the election, how can you elect a convicted felon?
Yes.
Well, when that gets overturned, you know, I want to hear the apologies.
Yes. And just a note, again, if you're watching us live, we're live streaming, or we should be, on LinkedIn, Rumble, YouTube, X, and Facebook. And we can see your comments in real time, especially on LinkedIn and YouTube. I never know about the other channels, but in real time, we can see your comments. So I see you out there watching us. Please feel free to comment, and we'll share it on the screen. And of course, you can use a pseudonym. So this is when, pun intended, things heat up in the summer?
It hits the fan.
Oh, yes. We're going into June. Let's talk about it.
Late June, the first presidential debate of the season, June 27th. Do you want to take this one?
I do. So we went into this and we covered it on our show. And if we had an outside producer in our ear, he or she could tell us the exact show. But we did cover this in our show this year. But I do remember before that debate, you and I were both saying Trump needs to just let Biden talk and not bully him like he had done previously. And just let Biden, just wrap himself up in knots and whatever, or twist himself up in knots, whatever. I'm just all over with the puns, Jake. Anyway, and we were watching it and Trump did that. He showed absolute restraint. He pulled back. He still got some barbs in there, but he just let Biden go off the rails. And finally, everyone, no matter what your political leanings are, everyone saw that Biden was not mentally competent to be president. Like, finally, everything that we have been talking about for months, and not just us, lots of people. It was just so, if you've ever had a parent or grandparent or loved one who suffered from Alzheimer's or dementia, I have my maternal grandmother for 10 years, you see the decline happening. You can see it. And I will tell you right now, my maternal grandmother, the day before she died, was more mentally competent than Joe Biden on June 27th this year.
And the thing that jumped out at me is, like we said, Trump let him talk. And this was early in the debate. We're like talking maybe 10 minutes in.
Oh, we were right? Just like jaw on the ground.
And he gives that one answer and he ends up talking about Social Security when the question was something about else. It goes back to Trump and he says, I don't know what he just said there, and I don't think he does either. And it was a perfect reply.
It was perfect.
Because he didn't pile on or anything like that.
No, he didn't. And the moderators were helping Joe the whole time.
Yeah, but
they were trying to steer him back to what was going on.
Yeah, and I think we looked at each other, and my first thought was, our enemies are watching this.
Yes.
And
yeah,
this is the president of the United States who is lost.
Yes.
And that was very, very scary. So, yeah,
we both knew then he was gone.
It's a massive turning point.
Yeah, it was really. All right, that takes us into July, where things get even hotter. Yes, I'm just going
they
with the puns.
They do.
Yes.
Early July, July 1st.
Yes. My brother's birthday.
Okay.
Happy birthday.
Yes. The Supreme Court issued their ruling on Trump's immunity ruling. And the left has tried to make this a huge deal that a president can't be charged with crimes while he's in office that he was doing under the auspices of being the president. And the left has twisted this so much to say that Trump can kill his political opponents, and forgetting that this administration, the Biden administration, has been arresting scores of Republicans that work for Donald Trump.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And they've just taken this. So many, as I was doing this year in review, I couldn't believe how many left-wing journalists thought this was the biggest story of the year. Yeah.
So, but they were wrong, because less than 2 weeks later, on July 13th, was the first assassination attempt on President Donald Trump.
Yes.
I was out of town at the time, right, when it happened. And I was at a conference in Hawaii. Mm-hmm. I know, cry me a river. But it was all over the news there, of course, as well. And, I think everyone remembers that moment. I think it will be just a classic moment when Trump was on the ground, Secret Service are on top of him. They're trying to keep him down because they have no idea how bad off he is, but they're also trying to get him to safety. And it stands up before he gets into the Secret Service. I think it was limo, van, I can't remember which. But he says,
SUV. Yep.
Yeah, he says, fight, fight, fight. And it's this incredible photo. And blood is just running down his face. And you don't know if there's a bullet in the brain. I mean, it turned out it grazed and took out a little bit of his ear. But you don't know how badly he's hurt. And he stands up and makes sure people see him.
That's your first instinct after getting shot, right?
Yes.
And you know,
I don't think most people would have reacted that way.
No, not at all. Not at all. And I think kind of a couple little things that jump out at me was there was a lot of criticism that like a female FBI agent or Secret Service agent jumped
small.
In front of him. Yeah. And
she
Trump towered over her.
She did.
That actually, in terms of the optics, worked in Trump's favor because when he got back up and he raised his fist in the air, he's got blood streaming across his face that you could see him. He wasn't just, you know, completely
point.
Surrounded by these really tall men.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, because there was a female Secret Service agent who was much shorter in front of him. And so, yeah, you could see him.
And we know Trump is about optics.
Yes. And but also, let's not forget, someone else was killed at this event.
Oh, yeah. And
let's not forget that.
Critically wounded at the time.
Yes. And let's also not forget that they knew there was a shooter on the roof. Of outside of the venue, like they knew, like
the people were warning them
on
hey,
the
there's somebody on the roof with a gun.
Yeah, there's someone on the roof with a gun. And so there was you know, I don't know who you can blame whether it was the local people on the ground or Secret Service or whatever, but someone didn't do their job well.
I think unfortunately the Butler, Pennsylvania, anybody says Butler, Pennsylvania from now on, it's going to be the Texas School Book Depository.
Right? It will. I agree.
Yes, absolutely.
But Butler got famous for all the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
He went back to Butler.
He did. He held a rally there and everything. I thought that was great. And I tell you what, to this day, I was actually thinking about it yesterday. What if he didn't move his head? Where would we be as a country? I mean, there's a whole show right there.
He had moved his head
to look at the immigration chart. Yes.
He had just moved his head just in time.
He said, it's a beautiful chart. It's beautiful. I love that chart. It's my favorite chart. Yeah.
And that takes us to 2 days later.
2 days later. So it gets shot on July 13th. July 15th, we start the Republican convention. He shows up with a bandage on his ear.
Yeah.
Right?
All across his ear. We still know how
the
much
big square left. Bandage. Yes.
Yes. And he's there. I mean, and he did look a little, I don't want to say exhausted, but there was one moment where it was like, you know, he looked a little, it wasn't exhausted. It wasn't frail. It just, like sick, like weak, like physically, like he needed to lie down.
Yeah, a lot had gone through, but also I think this was a turning point of Trump. I don't like to use the word softening with him, but where he's not as combative as he was. I think he's a little more introspective now.
And, well, we hope so. We don't know. But this was also the moment where I correctly predicted.
You did.
That the Veep pick would be J.D. Vance, whom I love. Don't agree with him on all the issues, guys. I want to make that clear. But I absolutely love him, and I think he was an incredibly good choice.
Yeah, we got introduced to J.D. Vance, and this was in Milwaukee. The convention was an absolute success.
Yes.
No question about it. There weren't riots. There weren't anything like that. And it went off. You know, Trump obviously had a lot of sympathy, for
yes.
sure.
And a lot of celebrities who showed up to support Trump wanted to be there. And I hope that'll come up later when we talk about Kamala Harris and her campaign.
Well, let's segue directly from this. This is July 15th. The Republican convention goes for like 3 days.
And Trump was like up in the polls.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Just remember, you know, on the Butler, Pennsylvania, I remember when we were discussing it.
Yeah.
And you said he just won the election.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did.
Sure.
But
so,
then.
Yeah. So it ends on July 18th. 3 days later. Now, remember, at the Republican convention, they're campaigning against Joe Biden.
Yes, that was the other, that was right? the only thing. They were campaigning against Joe Biden.
Right.
And then
what happened July 21st?
July 21st, two remarkable things happened.
Yes.
Biden withdraws from the race. And this happened on the same day?
Yeah.
Okay.
Later
and,
that day.
And I'm pretty sure he did this without telling the Obamas or Pelosi.
Without asking permission.
Without asking permission. Yes. And he turned around and endorsed Kamala Harris.
Oof.
And now you could make the argument about the money, right? The money and the Democratic money that was in Joe Biden's, you know, reelection
coffers.
Campaign.
Yes.
Coffers, mm-hmm. Yes. You could make the argument, as we did at the time, that it was very easy. The easiest thing to do in terms of giving Kamala that money was to endorse her.
Right.
But insiders of the Democratic Party did not want her to be the nominee.
No,
they
no.
didn't, because they knew she would be terrible. Yeah.
Very prescient. Yes.
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 So he endorses Kamala now.
And we were shocked. We were, because we said, there's no way.
Yeah. Like, just remember, a week before this, everybody, every journalist, I don't care, left, right, wing, when they were hypothesizing about, oh, gee, if Biden did end up dropping out, well, it's not going to be Kamala, because I think her approval rating was at like 28%, right? She's not smart. So it would just, and then all of a sudden in the next month, she raises $1 billion.
And so just for context, again, it was about 3 weeks from that meltdown, debate meltdown, to him withdrawing from the race. And we speculate, as many others do, he did not want to withdraw, and neither did Jill, that he basically, behind closed doors, Pelosi, Obama, others said, if you don't withdraw, we're going to 25th Amendment you. That's what is speculated. Again, we don't know, but he did not want to withdraw from the race. And he said, even after that debate debacle, he said all the way through July until this moment, he said he would not withdraw from the race. And then July 26th.
Right. So what, 5 days later?
Yes.
It's the start of the Olympics. And the whole world's attention goes to that in Paris.
Paris. And can I just say, like, the opening ceremony of the Olympics, first of all, in the rain in Paris, many of the athletes talked about it after the fact that they were waiting for hours. Yeah. And it was really bad for them. They were getting very cold, very wet. But also, I fell asleep. That's how boring the opening ceremony was. I mean, just boats going down. What's the river?
The Seine.
Seine. Boats going down the river. Boring. Boring. But I know there was something in the opening of the Olympics, before we get to the actual Olympics, that you did not like.
No, I mean, they tried to do this Last Supper reenactment.
On the bridge.
Yeah. Of course, with all trans and, you know, incredibly vulgar displays.
Yes, it was a little bit unnecessarily gratuitous.
Correct.
In terms of, yes,
it was very good. Yes,
thank you.
Yes.
Olympics began, and very proud of Team USA, especially in track and gymnastics and swimming. But, well, okay, first of all, break dancing shouldn't be an Olympic sport. No. And I have a dance background. I love dancing. I was a ballet dancer for many, many years, and break dancing shouldn't be an Olympic sport. Okay. Dancing should not be an Olympic sport.
Correct.
Just say that. Okay. But let's talk about the boxing.
Yeah. So I think the entire Olympics were overshadowed by a man beating up, or a couple of men beating up women in boxing to win the gold medals.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So two biological men, AKA trans women, two biological men, won gold in, I think, different divisions and, you know, in terms of weight, beating biological women. And that is a fucking crime. That was so wrong. And I guess the Olympics left it up to each individual sport. That's what the IOC decided, in terms of whether somebody born one sex who, quote unquote, transitions to another could compete. And they left it up. And so boxing,
right,
guys.
I was going to say, if you're thinking one sport.
I know, one sport. Like, I mean, any sport, men, biological men, I'll say that, are physically stronger than women, right? But of all the sports, to put a man in the ring with a woman to punch her and beat her, it was horrible.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to do something, do swimming or you know, sprints or anything like that. That's a non-contact sport.
Right. But a man would still win. I mean, a man would
right. Say, but you're not going to actually inflict physical harm on the female.
Fair point.
Right?
Yes. Yeah, I will say the one thing I really love about gymnastics is because there are different skill sets required. I don't think that will happen in gymnastics because there's only two overlaps in terms of the apparatus itself, and it's completely different skill sets. Mm-hmm. And so I hope that never, ever happens in gymnastics. I don't see it happening. All right.
So that lasted, we get through
two weeks. Yep. We're into August.
We now get into August.
My birthday month.
It is.
Birthday month.
Right after your birthday on August 19th.
Yes.
We start the Democratic convention, of course, in a huge turmoil because Kamala has now been anointed, right?
Yes. Yes. And let's recap this again. Nobody chose Kamala. No, not a single American chose her. There should have been. I would have loved to have seen an open primary, you know, but no, that didn't happen, right? They didn't let that happen. They shut that down real quick. I mean, remember RFKJ wanted to run up against Biden as a Democrat.
Oh, yeah.
They shut that shit down. And I would have loved to have seen an open convention. I think that could have been fantastic, right? Nope. That
didn't happen. Well, the Democrats did have a chance to vote for Kamala in 2019.
Oh, that's right.
And wait a minute. She got zero delegates.
Yep.
Yes, and dropped out. The first one to drop out, actually.
So. She was the first one to drop out when Tulsi kneecapped her. Yep. Yay, Tulsi. Okay. Yes. The Democratic convention, though, was very star-studded.
It was, yes. Yes, it was.
And one of the things that I would just, we'll find out, somebody's going to blow the whistle years from now. I can't wait to read the books. I really can't. What I find very interesting about Trump versus Kamala Harris's campaigns in terms of celebrity endorsements, with Trump, you've never got the feeling that anybody was paid to be there. Maybe Kid Rock was paid to perform, right, for his performance, but no one was paid to endorse him, right? Nobody was paid. Let's talk a little bit about how many celebrities that we know of that during this time were paid.
Well, I don't know if I know for sure, but the rumors are out.
No, we know for sure some numbers.
We do?
Yeah, we do. So remember, right around this time, I think it was later in October. Sorry, I'm going out of the timeline. This is not in the timeline, though. So, but it's trickled down from the Democratic convention. So then Kamala, first she wasn't getting out there because they knew it was a bad idea, and then they start putting her out there, and they keep pairing her with these different events, and the ones that were big. Let's talk about the Oprah event.
Oprah Winfrey, yes, had how many? Just it was all celebrities, right?
All celebrities, and they zoomed in. There were some that were there live in person. But how much money did Oprah's company get? She said, Oprah said, I did not get paid
did
a penny.
Did they get $5 million? Or $2.5 million?
Something like that, $2.5 million. Yes. But she said, it just went to my production company. Well, honey, you own the production company, so it went to you.
Nice try, Oprah.
Yeah. And then they put Kamala on that sex podcast.
They did,
Nothing wrong with a sex podcast. Maybe not appropriate for this.
Correct.
Venue, but and they paid how much?
$100,000
to redo the room.
Yes, so it was a hotel room that
cost $100,000 to create a set. Yeah.
even the host of the show actually came out a little bit ago and said, "What the hell are they talking about?"
So here's what I want to know. This is all I want to know. All the celebrities, especially with the Oprah event, that zoomed in and said they supported Kamala. I'm not doubting that you supported Kamala. I just want to know how much you were paid to be there on camera.
Yeah, it will come out eventually.
Yeah, I can't wait. All right, so, sorry, I got a little sidetracked because that just, it's like a burr in my butt, man. I just can't stand it. Just be transparent about it. That's all I ask. Oh, wait. We forgot. What's her name? Beyonce. Beyonce. Yeah. Was paid
supposedly $10 million.
Oh, was it that high?
Yeah, okay. That's what I heard.
She was paid and she didn't even sing, so
showed up for 3 minutes and have a nice day.
All right, September.
If it's September, it obviously has to be another assassination attempt against Donald Trump at a golf course in Florida.
Didn't get nearly as close,
it didn't. I don't know if you have heard, but a Secret Service agent actually fired at the potential shooter 5 times from a mere few feet away and missed with each shot. Now, granted, he was coming at the person. He was in a golf cart.
Yeah.
And he was firing at this person who immediately took off, and they arrested him. And we'll find out more as his trial is going to come up next year.
All right. 2 days later, September 17th.
One of my just favorite stories of the year.
I know. This is one of your favorites.
I just love Israeli ingenuity, right? So Israel, you know,
y'all
in their battle
smart.
Against Hamas, they end up setting up a company to manufacture cell phone pagers that they know Hamas is going to be buying, and then they set them all off to go off at the same time, and they kill quite a few of them.
Yeah, let's use the actual word. They exploded these pagers. So
kudos to them.
Brilliant.
Yeah,
all right.
There'll be a movie made about that for sure.
Yes. Then we're getting into the weather, September 25th.
Yeah, we start with Hurricane Helene.
Yep.
It hit Florida pretty hard, and then it went up through Georgia and really devastated North Carolina, Western North Carolina especially.
Yeah, I know some friends still
recovering
from it. Yeah,
they are really working hard to get out of that. Ron DeSantis, of course, handled it with, you know, genius out of that. A few days later, October 9th, now we're in October.
Yep. Another hurricane, Hurricane Milton, terrible name, by the way, hits Florida.
Again, yes.
Your home state.
Again, yep. And they weathered the storm, pun intended. So,
see, when he does a pun, he intends it. And when I do a pun, I usually don't intend
but
it.
But I think the biggest story out of these storms is, especially with Hurricane Helene in North Carolina, that if you remember, a person that works for FEMA in the Biden administration said, don't go to any houses that have Trump signs up.
Oh, I'd forgotten it's about like, that.
You're not going to give aid to somebody because of who they support politically.
Yes.
It's just shameful. Absolutely shameful.
All right. And then
a better story.
Yeah, right? Let's get away from the weather.
Okay.
Can't control the weather, people. October 14th, SpaceX grabs a rocket booster. Give us a little more on that.
Yeah. So, the whole thing about rockets, right, when they take off and they have these huge booster containers, they usually break off and they end up in the ocean and go somewhere. And Elon Musk was actually able to fly the booster back down to a launch pad where the launch pad arms reached out and grabbed it. So the whole theory is they can then refill it, attach it to another rocket and go.
And and that's recycling.
Just amazing. Yeah.
So the left should love that.
It is.
Did
they?
No, they didn't like it. Yeah. No, they didn't like it.
Well, they don't like him anymore.
No, I know. They don't. They hate him.
So that was awesome.
Yes, it was. More ingenuity.
It is. Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. October 20th. This was fun, y'all. This was fun. So Trump does, he goes to McDonald's. And he did this because specifically, we hypothesize, because Kamala Harris had always talked about how she was a regular person, middle class, and that she worked at McDonald's. But no, they could not verify that. No one could ever verify that. So he goes to McDonald's and he works the drive-thru.
Yeah. And let me say, Kamala is lying.
Okay.
There's no question. She's lying. Because
I worked at Arby's. Maybe she's not lying.
Yeah, you would know things about McDonald's that you could throw, lingo jargon about when somebody's asking you about your time there. And she had nothing.
I can tell you all about Arby's. Yes.
So Trump goes to work there for a day. The stunt, if you will, was brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. It got so much attention.
And people loved it.
And they absolutely loved it. Here you got a billionaire with an apron on. He's still
over
got
his suit.
Over his took a jacket off, but still had the tie on and everything.
He still has a tie on.
Yeah, so that was really, really important.
And then it was just a couple days later. We're still in October.
Yep.
The garbage truck.
So he gets the garbage truck that says Trump on the side, and he goes and he said, I think we drove like 5 feet and then I got out.
And he had a hard time getting in.
He admits it.
Yeah, admits it. Yeah. And see, that's the thing that I think people that hate Trump so much, the thing that they're missing about him is what you see is what you get. Like Trump is he's authentic, whether you like him or not. He's a bit of a bore, I guess is the word. Really super, really snobby, but he's authentic. Like, and that's why, because a lot of people I think don't understand why lower and middle class people like a billionaire like Trump and the blue collar billionaire, they call him.
I think that was Donald Trump Jr. that coined it. He's a blue collar billionaire because he eats McDonald's.
He just says it like it is. Yeah. He tells the truth.
Yeah.
He tells the truth. All right. November.
Yeah, something happened early November, didn't it? November 5th, as a matter of fact.
Yes, we covered that. And that was a rough night for me, folks. Rough night, right? My dad was in town visiting getting some health care here in Birmingham. My dad's on the left, sitting on my left. So appropriate.
Yes.
Edward's sitting on my right. So appropriate. I'm in the middle. So freaking appropriate, given our political views. And that was a rough night for me. Because I saw an ugly side of my dad and an ugly side of Edward.
We had a spirited adult conversation.
It got really bad.
It was. See, that's just it. There's a difference. A lot of big
that's because I love you
women.
Both so much.
Well, that's true.
Because I love you both
but,
so much.
But, we kind of went at each other a little bit. No, the voices weren't raised or anything like
that. Oh, that is not true.
Slightly enough.
My dad, especially.
Yeah. But at the end, I'm like, are we good? And he's like, oh, yeah.
I know. That is the difference between men and women. But I think it was hard for me because I love you both so much.
That's true.
But what was even worse, and I'll admit it, is that I got so sick of their shit that I decided to just leave and go take a shower and get ready for bed because it looked like Trump was going to win. Like, there's no question. And I came back. I don't even think they knew I was gone. And that was more insulting to me than anything else. Like, they didn't even know that I had disappeared. So that kind of sucked. But anyway.
So great win for Donald Trump.
Yes, kind
of a big story last year.
Yes. And we will. We have something else here at the end of November that will give you more insight into that. So as to why a lot of people were not surprised. But November 15th, tell us what happens now. This did not really hit the mainstream news until the last few weeks.
Well, yes, but I've been hearing about this, and this was the first news that I heard was on November 15th of drones over New Jersey.
Yes. So,
turns out it looks like they might be Chinese drones now, and they're everywhere.
And there's more of them.
Yeah.
They're big. So. And it's real, guys. People living in New Jersey are taking photos, and they're coming offshore. So
the administration's great line is, we don't know who they are, but they're not a threat.
Well, didn't they say we're pretty sure they're not aliens? Like,
they're not aliens. They're not from outer space, supposedly. So.
But I don't know what's worse, China or aliens. I don't know what's worse. All right. So November 25th,
Jack Smith, the federal prosecutor who was illegally appointed, by the way, ends up dropping all charges against Donald Trump in the classified docs case in Florida, in the election interference in Washington. And Fannie Willis, her case is dropped, falling apart, and that's going to be gone. She's now been removed from her case, too. So basically, as soon as an upper court overrules and reverses Trump's 34 felony convictions, he will have a complete clean slate.
And it's just further proof, the fact that Jack Smith dropped these charges, it's further proof that the goal was just to make sure Trump didn't get elected.
Yes.
Yeah.
That pure was election interference.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
All right. Two days later.
This
is juicy.
November 27th, we get Democrat insiders finally start to fess up that Kamala Harris was never ahead in any of their internal polls.
Never.
No.
Never. And what's interesting about that on the flip side was Donald Trump Jr. had repeatedly said, our internal polling shows that we are ahead. Like, we're not worried. It's going to be close, but we're not worried because that's what our internal polling shows. And you and I cover the polls every week, the Real Clear Politics, national average. And then we also did the battleground states and it was tight, but you know, there was a big wave when Kamala first got handed the nomination and there was a huge surge.
Oh, she was up like 4 or 5 points.
Yeah. And
supposedly.
Yes, supposedly. But it's so interesting now that internally the Democrats knew.
And they're finally admitting it, like, oh, gee, when they were looking at these outside polls and thinking, man, we're not seeing this.
Yes. Yeah.
Yay. Let's finally move here to December.
December.
Shall we?
All right. Go ahead.
Let's start out December 1st. Let's start out the month with a bang. Joe Biden pardons his son, Hunter Biden,
on
all the gun charges that he was convicted
of. Every charge in perpetuity.
And
everything.
And everything back from 2014, for 10 years ago, anything he may have committed.
And anything related that might affect other Biden family members.
Yes. Meaning him.
Meaning him. Right. So I'm going to say something about this. I think every parent, I've been a parent, you're a parent. I think every parent who loves their child would do anything for their children if they genuinely love their children, right? So I'll preface that. So what bothered me about Joe Biden saying, remember, he repeatedly said when he was asked, he would not pardon Hunter.
We believe in the justice system.
We believe in the justice system. I will not pardon Hunter. I will not do it. I never believed him because, again, I do believe he loves his son. And if you have the power to move mountains for your child, why wouldn't you? My problem is, you lied about it. You lied about it, sir. And that's what was wrong. And the interesting thing is, I think actually Trump would have pardoned Biden. I think he would have. I really do. Maybe not to this extreme degree. But what bothers me the most is that he lied about it. And I never believed him because I do believe he loves his son. And I do believe that he would have done anything in his power. And he's handing out pardons right, left, and center.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be a whole nother show in January. But that story, pardoning Hunter on a gun charge, leads directly into our next story, which was December 4th, 3 days later, where the United Healthcare CEO was assassinated in downtown Manhattan by a lone gunman.
Wait, how do those two things relate?
Well, because Joe Biden then comes out and says, we need gun control, after he just pardons his son for gun violations.
And many other things.
Yes.
Let's be honest.
But that's what he was convicted of, right. Gun violations. Yes. Yes.
And so, shame on all those people that said the CEO deserved to be assassinated. No. Shame on you. Shame on you. This man had a family.
Yeah. I was reading a story this morning about how this kid, this young man, is getting all this love letters and whatnot in jail. And it's just, you people are sick out there that are doing that just because you like the way he looks. Good Lord.
Yeah. Well, no, they just, it's not just that. I don't think it's the way the assassin, whose name we're not going to say, looks. It's because there are people that think he did a good deed.
No, but I guarantee you, if he looked
like he was ugly,
Harvey Weinstein, right?
You're saying he wouldn't be getting the love?
He would not be getting any letters.
So, I don't think that's true.
Maybe one or two nuts.
I'm going to disagree with you.
Not dozens and dozens.
I'm going to disagree with you because I do think that people thought it was a good thing that this guy was assassinated.
Yeah, I understand that, yeah. But I don't understand why they think it's a good thing. But anyway. Yes.
All right, December 8th.
December 8th. Actually, a very big Middle Eastern news.
This was a week in wins, I think we had.
Yeah, where the Syrian government collapsed. Assad is out of power now. He, of course, immediately flees to Russia. Yes, go figure. So Putin takes
all
him in
all
there.
These guys flee to another country.
Yeah.
Like all
oh,
of
yeah.
them.
Oh, well, he would have been executed
very
quickly. So, yeah, we're not going to yap on that one.
Okay. And December 9th.
Let's go the next day. Kind of a good indicative story. Daniel Penny in New York is found not guilty of choking out a guy that was threatening people on the subway. He ended up dying. He was charged with murder and everything else. And they tried to
give some background for people who may not know the story or remember it.
This is from 2023.
Why did he choke the guy? What was the guy doing?
The guy was threatening people, saying, I'm going to kill everybody on this train. And so he and Daniel Penny got into it. Penny, being a former Marine, was able to put him in a chokehold.
Yes.
Unfortunately, he did die, and he was helped by other people that were not white. And so this whole trial was because Daniel Penny was white. The person that was killed was black.
Right.
And they started to make an example of him in New York. And the jury said no. And even when they said they can't get a verdict on him on the biggest charge, the prosecution said, we'll just forget that. We're going to drop that. You can't do that. Okay. It's either that and then everything else. So they just basically said, it's out. We're done. Not guilty.
Yep.
And that's just a good barometer from, I think, where we might be heading into this next administration.
That's right. And finally, we are ending. Did this story happen on December 19th? Because today is not December 19th.
Yeah, this
story happened. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So we're going to end the year with this, Jim. So it's our lead story for this week in What the Fuck. I'm going to hand it over to Edward.
All right. From Daniel Greenfield at frontpagemag.com. Headline. For 4 years, America had no president.
That is a WTF. It is. All right.
From the article, the Wall Street Journal has an article delving into the efforts to cover up Biden's mental state. But the article raises as many questions as it answers. He writes, I won't dwell on the umpteenth revelations that Biden had bad days, that he had trouble remembering lines or figuring out where he was supposed to go. If the president was having an off day, this is from the Wall Street Journal part of the article.
Right.
If the president was having an off day, meetings could be scrapped altogether. On one such occasion, in the spring of 2021,
first year of his administration,
a national security official explained to another aide why a meeting needed to be rescheduled. Quote, he has good days and bad days, and today was a bad day, so we're going to address this tomorrow, the former aide recalled. This is the spring of 2021. He's been in office like 2 months, you know, and there's also reports coming out now, and you're starting to see the left start to say, gee, maybe we should have questioned this a little bit more. But there's other reports I saw where the Democratic chairman of the House Foreign Relations Committee, he was trying to discuss with Joe Biden about the upcoming withdrawal from Afghanistan. And Biden kept canceling and wouldn't meet with him because he kept having bad days. This is the summer of 2021. This entire presidency, we have had no actual sitting president making daily decisions.
So who do you think was making those daily decisions?
Well, from everything that I'm reading, it's like a Jake Sullivan, who's his national security advisor, and all of his close, immediate people that were protecting him, they would meet with anybody who had questions, whether it was committee chairs or cabinet people, and they would say, we're going to take it to the president, we'll get back to you. And then that person would get back to him, not the president, and say, here's what the president wants. And it's just, you got to remember, this is a guy, Joe Biden, he didn't have a cabinet meeting for over a year.
I know. No.
It's horrible. You're going to see these stories really coming out now in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah. And we're going to find out also just what they were giving him to keep him.
I want to find out the cocktail.
The cocktail, right? Yeah, to keep him going. So moving on.
We do have a week in wins.
Yeah, this week in wins. Right. Mm-hmm. So I was listening to the Megyn Kelly podcast, and we'll put a link in our show notes. It was podcast number 968. And Justine Bateman was on the show. Now, I'm a Gen Xer. I remember Justine Bateman on Family Ties. I grew up with her, but I did meet her once, and I can't say exactly where, but I'll just say hint, hint. One of those settings where you're not supposed to, you know.
Where you sit in a circle and
sit in a circle and talk, yeah. And you're not supposed to say the person's name and things like that. But it was one of those settings that was kind of weird because she walked in and we all knew who she was. Like, we all recognized her, but. So I won't say what the place was or where or the context, just to say the one time I met her in person, she seemed very genuine, very lovely, and very kind. So she's on Megyn Kelly's podcast. She has directed an independent film, but Megyn Kelly ended the show asking her, what do you think about people who break off relationships based on politics? Mm-hmm. And I want to quote what Justine Bateman said. And not all of it is perfectly eloquent, but there are moments that are spectacular. So I want to quote, and I'm throwing this out there for all the people who I know who have broken off relationships, or their relationship is strained, or even people who think, and I know who you are, that Edward has somehow unduly influenced me. All right, come on, I have my own mind. So here we go, Justine Bateman. If you're making your relationships with your loved ones and your friends about politics, you're really making it about you, period. You're wanting them to focus on you. You're wanting them. I call it intimacy through injury. Freaking brilliant, yeah. Justine. Okay. Intimacy through injury. If you have a fight with this person, they're going to be thinking about you. They're going to call you and fix it or whatever because you're too afraid to just have a regular relationship with them, or maybe you think they don't value you that much. So I think it's not about the people that are doing that. It's not about politics. I think it's about they're trying to exact, and here's another gem, emotional terrorism and control on their friends and family. And they're just trying to manipulate the relationship, and that's it. And then she kind of paused, and Megan said something, and then she said, it's not even on the list of things, how somebody votes, that I would or would not want to be around someone because of. So that last part was a little awkward, but bottom line, it's not even on her list, how people vote. And that's why for our viewers, our listeners, it doesn't matter to me that Edward is conservative at all. It doesn't matter to me. And we do have boundaries in place.
Mm-hmm. We do.
We do. We don't talk about politics in bed. And when he has occasionally crossed that boundary, I get really pissy with him. All yes. right. But it's a boundary that, most of the time he respects. And even I have to respect as well, because I wanted to tell him something last night. We were already in bed. And I said, nope. I can tell you tomorrow.
I bet you forgot it, didn't you?
No, I told you this morning.
All right.
You forgot it already. And that's why I want to tell the people who are watching live and our listeners who are listening that when this handsome, amazing, who happens to be conservative man, proposed to me the day after Thanksgiving, I said, yes. All and maybe right. You can see I have this beautiful, holding it up to the camera for our listeners, ring. It's an incredible antique ring that's been in his family over 100 years. Thank you, Weeze Hinton. It's absolutely beautiful. And I don't care how Edward votes. I don't always agree with him. And that's okay. And I, Justine Bateman put it better than I've ever heard anyone. And again, I just want to call out two things she said: intimacy through injury and emotional terrorism and control. Man, I love it. I love it. So we will link to that episode in the show notes. And I'm also going to try to find Justine Bateman's Substack.
So, you know, people are watching going, I thought they were already married.
I know. No, we're not.
She was on the 9-year plan and you passed. So there you go.
It was a 9-year trial period.
Oh, yeah. I don't like to jump into things.
Yes. You know. We've been together 9.5 years next month. Yes.
All right. Let's go to This Week in Woke. I'm going to hand it back over to you.
Oh, okay. We're going to do it together, right?
Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm. From Robert Spencer at PJ Media, love them. Here's the headline. Will this be the end of Bond? James Bond? Fox News reported Saturday that the next installment in the James Bond franchise is still in development, Limbo, due to a rift between the series' main producer and its new owners, Amazon. It seems that longtime Bond producer Barbara Broccoli and Amazon, which bought MGM Studios in 2021, are in an ugly stalemate over decisions about the future of the franchise. During a recent meeting to discuss Bond's fate, one Amazon executive laid it on the line saying, I have to be honest, I don't think James Bond is a hero. All right, take it from here.
He is most decidedly not gay.
Oh, no, start here. Oh, think about it.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah, sorry. Think about all the ways in which Bond is not a hero from the standpoint of a grim, humorless, doctrinaire leftist. Bond in all his incarnations, from Sean Connery to Daniel Craig, has been white. And that's just the beginning of his sins.
This is from, like, an article, a quote, continues.
He is most decidedly not gay. He doesn't believe in body positivity. He is not trans. For all his interest in women, clearly he has no interest in becoming one. He is just the opposite of a whining victim. He's a joyful rogue who doesn't take himself too seriously, but always comes out on top. He drinks alcohol with no concern about the burden he may one day be on the healthcare system.
I'll take it from here. Broccoli, who has had creative control over the 007 film franchise for over 30 years, and I have a personal story about her, doesn't trust algorithm-centric Amazon with the character she helped mythologize through big screen storytelling and gut instinct. Stating her grievances with admirable succinctness, Broccoli said, this is a quote, guys, these people are fucking idiots.
Amen, Barbara.
And I don't know her personally, but I had to do a lot of research on the Broccoli family when I worked for the USC School of Cinematic Arts as a writer and editor, writing grants. And so I wrote a $2 million grant that was funded by the Broccoli family. And so I really did a deep dive on them and how they took ownership of the Bond franchise and how they became the producers. And it was very, very interesting. So I just love her. I mean, these people are fucking idiots. Yeah. I love it. I love it.
Very succinct. I love it.
Yes. And so they're at a stalemate.
Yes. Please just leave James Bond alone.
That's what makes him fun. He's a rogue. He's a womanizer. He likes his martinis shaken, not stirred.
I mean,
or is it stirred, not shaken? No, shaken, not stirred. Yes.
I mean, what great characters, right? I mean, you got a character named Pussy Galore, right? it's perfect.
Yeah. And that's the thing is, who was the one they killed off who was a very strong female character in the Bond franchise? Was it M? And she was always female and always very strong.
Yeah,
and she would always put Bond in his place. They shouldn't have killed her. But anyway, I agree with her. I mean, come on. I mean,
get over yourself.
Yes, and you know, I forget the order now, but the Bond franchise, the Star Wars, and Harry Potter series, those three franchises are like in the top three most successful of all time films. Wow. And they always change order, but I forget who's on top now. But I mean, it's kind of like, I think he would never say it out loud, how Lucasfilm feels about selling Star Wars to ABC.
Yeah.
He hates what they've done with Star Wars. Yeah. He hates it.
As do most Star Wars fans.
Yes.
From what I understand.
Yes. All right. Anything else to wrap up?
I think that was a gem today.
Yeah. So yes. We have, thank you so much for watching us live. We see you and you stayed with us. I know. I mean, this is a slower time of year, so we appreciate it.
Absolutely.
I also want to tell our viewers and listeners that someone has a birthday in 2 days.
We do. I'm an Ever, Christmas Ever.
It's so. A Christmas Eve, yes, baby. Yes. Yes. So Edward has a birthday. So be sure to wish him happy birthday.
I'll be older and wiser the next time we meet.
Yes. And he's older than you think. He just looks that good, people. Like this takes work, makeup. I'm like circling my face for our listeners. This takes work. And he just shows up and looks amazing. Mm-hmm. He shaves.
You're very kind.
That's
it. That would help.
Yes. Well, we won't say your age, but a coworker recently thought you were 12 to 13 years younger than you are.
Yes.
Yeah. Basically my age.
Yeah.
Now we begin. All right. So this concludes season 3, March to the Election of My Favorite Conservative. So when we come back, we'll be back in 2 weeks. We will launch season 4. Again, we're still kind of thinking about the theme of season 4. If you have any ideas, let us know.
I think fight, fight, fight.
No.
There you go.
Oh, okay. We're discussing it. It's a discussion. So we'll be back in 2 weeks on Sunday, January 5th, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern. We stream live on YouTube, Rumble, LinkedIn, X, and Facebook. If you're listening to the podcast, which always drops the next day, be sure to rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast wherever you're listening right now. And again, please review the podcast. We want to keep doing the show in 2025, but I'm going to just tell everybody that we kind of have a date we're looking at if we, let's just say if we don't get more reviews and don't hit certain targets, right? Because that's our
goal oriented.
That's right. So please, if you like the show, please review it. If you hate the show, review it. I don't care.
Yeah.
All reviews are good reviews, people. Like that helps more people find our show. And please review it on Apple Podcast. You can support our show by joining our locals community. We really want to get people in that next year. And that way you could actually share your opinion with not being worried about the ramifications from your friends and family. Remember what Justine Bateman said. And again, you can learn more, follow us, email us. You can even send us a voice message at myfavoriteconservative.show. It's right there at the bottom of the ticker. myfavoriteconservative.show. Anything you want to say to the folks?
See you next year.
Merry Christmas.
Yep.
Happy Hanukkah on the same day this year. I think that's pretty cool.
And happy Festivus. That's tomorrow. That's Monday.
Is that from Seinfeld?
Yes.
And happy holidays. And we hope you have a good one.
Yeah. Thank you.
Bye-bye.